Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for the opportunity that we have to gather together here in person at the studio, to gather together online, to worship you, and to hear your word. God, I do pray that as we open up God's word together tonight, that you would speak powerfully to us through it, that your spirit would be at work in this time. God, I confess that I am an unworthy vessel. But I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So I wonder if you've ever had the experience where you meet someone and like in that first meeting, in that first moment of meeting that person, you think to yourself, I think this person could be a really good friend of mine. You just kind of have a sense that this person could be somebody that you really connect with and you want to get to know them better. When I think about this experience, I think of our friends, Paul and Caroline. Mindy and I moved to England in September of 2001. Now you may recall that there was a pretty significant geopolitical event that happened on September 11th, 2001. So we were getting on an airplane about a week and a half after that, to leave the United States, to move over to the United Kingdom, leaving our home, leaving our family, leaving our friends, going to a place where we really didn't know anybody. And so we landed, we got settled into our apartment where we were going to live. And one of the first things that we wanted to do is find a church and get connected to a church. And so we did that. We visited a church on a Sunday morning, and on Tuesday evening, they had a young adults Bible study. And at that point in our lives, we counted as young adults. And so we decided to show up to the young adults Bible study that first Tuesday. And we happened to sit at a table across from this couple named Paul and Caroline. And I remember leaving that time saying to Mindy as we were walking home from that Bible study, I think we're going to be really good friends with Paul and Caroline. That was 25 years ago this fall, and we are really good friends with Paul and Caroline. They live in Manchester, England. We live in Minnesota, but they're among our closest friends in the world. They have come and visited us here in Minnesota. We've gone and visited them a number of times over in Manchester. In 2019, we had a family trip over to England, and we spent a few days with their family and our kids getting to know each other, which was really a ton of fun to see that. I was in England just a couple of weeks ago for a conference that I was attending, and Paul drove several hours just to come and hang out so we could have an evening together, having dinner, watching a little World Cup soccer together, and just enjoying one another and enjoying our relationship that we have had now for a quarter of a century. In that moment, there was a sense of these are people that we want to know, people that we want to connect with. Now, it's one thing to have that initial sense. It's another thing to actually build the friendship. How do we build friendships? How do we build relationships with other people? How do we get to know a person? Well, with Paul and Caroline, we just hung out a lot together. These were in those glorious days before we had children, and we could just hang out a lot. Like multiple evenings a week, we could just call each other up and say, hey, you want to hang out? And they would say, yeah. And so we would just go and hang out together. But when we hung out, we didn't just sit there quietly, right? We shared ourselves with each other. We talked about who we were. We got to know each other. We got to know each other's history. We traveled together a number of places, including going over to Northern Ireland, where Caroline was from, and meeting her family and seeing where she grew up. We did things together, and we talked about the things that mattered to us. We talked about the things that we were passionate about. We shared our thoughts. We shared our feelings. We shared ourselves with each other, because that's how you build deep relationships. That's how you move from being acquaintances to being really close friends. Right? In order to get to know a person, we have to make ourselves known. We have to share who we are in order for them to come to know us. Otherwise, we just remain hidden from others and we don't go deep in those relationships. What about with God? How do we get to know God? How do we come to know Him? There's a lot of opinions out there about God. Have you noticed this? There's a lot of different thoughts about who God is and about what God is like and about whether God is. There's a lot of opinions out there about God, but how do we come to know God in truth, in reality of who God is? How do we come to know God? Well, in order to come to know God, God has to make God's self known. God has to reveal God's self to us. God has to communicate God's self to us. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. We cannot know God unless He tells us about Himself. Right? In the same way that if you're trying to get to know somebody and they won't tell you anything about themselves, you're not going to have a deep relationship with that person, right? With God, God has to tell us about Himself if we are going to be in a relationship with God, if we are going to know who God is. So this spring and this summer, we've been in this series on the prophets. And I've been really grateful for the time that we've taken as a church body, as a community, to kind of sink in to this section of scriptures. The section of the scriptures can be intimidating. It can be confusing. You have super long books and you're not quite sure what's going on, and all of the details of what's going on in those long books are super short books and you're not quite sure the context of exactly what's going on there. And so it could be easy to just sort of avoid the prophets or just dip into some of our favorite verses along the way. But I think that's a big mistake. Because what we have with the prophets, which is such an important part of the scripture, not just for the kind of historical facts or biblical knowledge, but it's vital to pay attention to the prophets. Because through the prophets, God is telling us who He is. Through the prophets, God is revealing Himself to His people. And God is revealing Himself to us, right? Because the prophets weren't magicians. The prophets weren't just fortune tellers. The prophets go much deeper than this. The prophets were vessels of God's revelation. The prophets were the means by which God spoke who He was to His people. Not just telling them what was going to happen, though there was some of that. Not just telling them things that God was not happy about, though there was some of that. But in all of that, what God was ultimately doing was He was sharing Himself. He was revealing Himself. He was making Himself known so that His people would dwell with Him. So that His people would be in right relationship with Him. Because God is a person. God is a person, which means that God is knowable, right? God is not a metaphysical concept or an uncaused cause or a philosophical problem to be solved or a thesis to be proved. God is a person. Now, he's not a human like us. He is transcendent. But God is a person. And as a person, God created us as human persons to be those who would be in relationship with him, to be those who would be in fellowship with him. That's why we were created. That's why we exist, to be in fellowship with God. So how do we get to know God? How do we get to know a person? How do we get to know God? Who is he in truth? Not just in opinion. Who is God in truth? What God has done through the prophets is he has revealed himself. He has made himself known. And this really is the heart of the purpose of the prophets. As I said, as we've gone through the prophets, we've seen a lot of stuff. We've seen God pronouncing judgment. We've seen God bringing armies upon his people. We've seen all kinds of things happening in the prophets. But ultimately, what is the purpose of the prophets? The purpose of the prophets is to make known the nature of God. Who is God? To answer that question, to know God, God has to make himself known. He's not just sitting there for us to try to figure out who he is. He is a God who reveals himself to us. And what we've been exploring as we've been exploring the prophets is the nature of this God, who is the one true God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is the covenant-making God. We've been learning about this God as God has spoken about himself through the prophets. Because what happens when we hear the prophets speak is we come to know the one true God. Right? As he sends Ezekiel, as he sends Obadiah, as he sends Amos, as he sends Isaiah, what we are hearing when we listen to the prophets is God speak about himself, telling us what matters to him, telling us what his heart is for and what his heart is against, telling us about what matters to him, about what he loves, about what he is passionate about. And so this spring and this summer, we've been listening to the prophets as they have been the means by which God has been telling us who he is. But here's the thing. We've been listening to the prophets, but we've not yet heard from the ultimate prophet. We've heard from Ezekiel, and we've heard from Jeremiah, and we've heard from Daniel, and we've heard from Habakkuk. We've heard from men through whom God spoke his word, but we haven't yet heard from the ultimate prophet. We haven't yet encountered the ultimate revelation of God's word. And this morning, we are coming to the ultimate prophet. We are coming to the supreme revelation of God. If we want to know who God is, if we want to be in right relationship with God, then we must come to the one who is the ultimate revelation of God. The one who is the supreme self-giving of God. We must come to the ultimate prophet. And this is what we come to as we turn to the book of Hebrews. We're just going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1 today. So here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, right? This is what we've been looking at this spring and this summer. Long ago, God spoke to his people through the prophets at various times and in various ways. Over hundreds of years, to the northern kingdom, to the southern kingdom, prophecies about Babylon, prophecies about Syria, prophecies about things that were going to happen to the Israelites, things that God was pleased about, things that God was not pleased about, in various times and in various ways. Long ago, God spoke through the prophets, who were human beings just like us, who God took up into his mission of making God's self known and proclaimed himself through these prophets. But they were humans, people like us. They were vessels of God's word, but they were not the word. Through them, God spoke, but he had not yet fully spoken. Through the prophets, God revealed God's self, but he had not yet fully revealed himself. He had not spoken his ultimate word, his supreme word. The fullness of who God is had not yet been revealed. Until Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. When the moment was right, when the time was right in the eternal calendar of God's self-revelation, God chose in his grace to fully reveal himself, not by speaking his word through a man like us, but by sending his very Son, by sending his very self, by sending the Lord Jesus Christ. In these last days, God has spoken not through a prophet, a mere man, but through his Son. Right when we read through the prophets, one of the phrases that we saw over and over again was, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, or the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, or the word of the Lord came to Habakkuk. We don't see that when Jesus comes. The word of the Lord doesn't come to Jesus because Jesus comes as the word of the Lord. He is the very word of God. He is the one who is the very fullness of God's self-giving. The one who is the revelation of God, so that when God wanted to make it absolutely clear who God is, when God wanted to reveal himself in all of his fullness, he didn't just take a man and send his word through that man. He sent his word. He sent himself. The second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, stepped out of the heavenly places, stepped out of the glories of the throne room of God, and became incarnate, became one like us. Because Jesus is the supreme prophet. He is not like the other prophets. There is a distinction between Jesus and all of the other prophets. Because with Christ, the word has come. This is what we read in John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh. Just ponder that for a second here. The word of God, the one who dwells eternally with the Father, the Son of God, became flesh. The nature of God took on human flesh. This is staggering. This is a mystery that we can never fully wrap our minds around, that we can never fully understand, and yet should so capture our hearts and our minds and our souls that we are amazed that the very Word of God, the eternal Son of God, stepped into this world, was enfleshed, took up flesh, took up a body, that God might reveal God's self in his fullness to us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. What does that mean? He hung out with us. He didn't just come and do some magic tricks to kind of show everybody that he was God. He came and he hung out with human beings. He ate with other people. He slept. He talked. He interacted. He came as the Word of God made flesh, and he dwelt among us. That's amazing. That's amazing. And what John says is that we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, was sent by the Father to become this enfleshed nature of God in our form, fully human, fully divine, to hang out with us, to eat with us, to walk with us, to talk with us. And he did this so that we might see the glory of God. So that we might see the fullness of who God is. That's amazing. That's amazing. This is the one who came from the Father full of grace and truth to reveal the very heart, the very being of God. See, when God chose to fully reveal himself, when God made the free choice to speak his ultimate word, when God wanted to make absolutely clear who he was to us, long ago he had spoken by the prophets, but now, in these days, he sent his Son. He sent the very Word of God to become human, to reveal who God is. He sent his very self. God sent the second person of the Trinity. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's a mystery that should capture our hearts. And in the bafflement of what all that means, we should worship this God who has revealed God's self to us through Jesus Christ. This is how Hebrews goes on to describe Jesus, the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It says this in verses 2 and 3. He sent his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I just want to work through a couple of those phrases and just capture what's going on here. Again, and I hope and I pray by the Spirit that our hearts are being inflamed by what we're understanding here and by what we're not understanding here. We're being captured by what God has done to reveal God's self so that we might know him. So here's how Jesus is described here. Here's how the ultimate prophet is described here. He is the heir of all things. What does that mean, to be the heir? Well, to be the heir means he is the son of the Father, which means he is in the family of the Father, right? That he is like the Father, that the Son and the Father are both God. That Jesus has, if I can put it this way, very inelegantly, Jesus has a DNA relationship to the Father, right? You and I are sons and daughters of God, but we are so by adoption. We are not divine. We are created to live among the divine. We're created to live in God's presence, but we're not divine. And Isaiah wasn't divine, and Jeremiah wasn't divine, and Habakkuk wasn't divine. None of those guys from long ago were divine. Jesus is the heir of all things. He is the firstborn son. He's the one who dwells forever with the Father. Jesus is God himself, who has taken on human form. He's the heir of God. He is God's true son. And so he is able to be the one who reveals fully the nature of God the Father by coming as God the Son incarnate in Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the glory of the Godhead. He's the heir of all things. He is the means of the creation, right? Through whom God created all things. This means that he was there before all things. He's not a creature like us. He's not a creature like Isaiah. He's not a creature like Jeremiah. He's not a creature like Habakkuk. He's not a created thing. He is eternal with the Father. He dwelt with the Father and with the Spirit before the creation of the heavens and the earth. He was the means by which God created the heavens and the earth. We read in Genesis that God speaks things into existence. He speaks a word. This is the word of God, the one through whom God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit created all things. He's not a creature. He's not a man. He's not merely a vessel of the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. He's the radiance of God's glory. That's a beautiful phrase. When you think about something that's radiant, what do you think? Right? Think of something that is lit up. Right? Something that just to behold it is to be awed by its beauty. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He perfectly reveals the glory of God. That's what it says in John chapter 1. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. When he comes from the Father, he reveals the glory of God. He reveals the majesty of God. He reveals the character of the Godhead. And what Jesus says when he's on earth is, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You've seen me, you've seen into the very heart of God, because he's the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's nature. So this is kind of building on that last phrase. He's the radiance of God's glory. When we've seen him, we've seen the Father, because he is the exact representation of God's nature. He is exactly who God is. Again, when we see Jesus, we see God. When we see the character of Christ, we see the character of God. When we see Jesus, we see the very inner truth of who God is. Jesus isn't just a mere shadow of God. He is the exact representation of God. The word here that's translated representation could also be translated imprint. He's the exact imprint of who God is. So think about your finger, right? And you take your finger and you and you imprint it into some ink, and then you put it on a piece of paper, that imprint is the exact representation of your finger. Right? It's the exact representation of your identity, as we are identified through our fingerprints. Jesus is that. He's the exact representation of the identity of God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, Jesus says, you have seen very God himself. That's amazing. The God who is God from God and light from light. The God who has been God for all of eternity and will be God for all of eternity. And we try to wrap our mind around eternity past and eternity future, and it doesn't work. It all falls apart. God is God. And he's a person. And so how do we know him? He's revealed himself. Long ago, he spoke through the prophets, and he revealed himself truly through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken through his Son, and he has revealed himself fully through Jesus the Christ. He has made himself known through the Son. He has sent his very self into the world to reveal himself to us. He has met with us. He has dwelt among us. He has talked with us. He has walked with us. He has eaten with us. He has invited us to come to the table and to be present with him and to share fellowship with him. And as we walk in Christ's presence, we walk in the presence of Almighty God. And as we look at Jesus, we look at Almighty God. So, who is God? Who is God? How do we come to know God? How do we know what he is like? How do we come to know the very God of the universe? We don't do this by trying to solve a metaphysical puzzle. We don't try to make sense of God through a philosophical thesis. We don't engage in opinionated speculation. How do we know God? How do we come to know God? We look at Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We look to the ultimate prophet. We look to the supreme prophet. We look to the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as we look at Jesus, what do we see? As we look at Jesus and we ask, who is God? What do we see? Who do we see? Who is the God who is revealed in Jesus Christ? The God who is revealed in Jesus Christ, the God who is the one true God, the very God of gods, he is a God who is full of grace and truth. He is a God who overflows with compassion and with mercy. He is a God who protects the weak, who forgives sinners, who welcomes the foreigner, who doesn't operate in the world as the rulers of this age do. He is a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will have eternal life and will dwell with this God forever and ever and ever and ever. He is a God who is full of love, who is full of light, who is filled with kindness. He is the God who is revealed in Jesus, his Son, the ultimate prophet. This is who God is. And he can be known and he has made himself known through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate prophet because he is the ultimate revelation of God, the Word made flesh. And so I want to ask as we close our time together, what is your vision of God? When you think about God, what comes to your mind? A.W. Tozer once said, the most important thing about us is what we think when we think of God. When you think of God, what do you think about? Do you think about a metaphysical puzzle? Think about an uncaused cause, a first mover? You think about a cranky old man who's out to get you? Or do you think of Jesus? God went to a lot of trouble to enwrap himself in flesh, for the Son of God to step out of the glories of heaven, to come to earth, to reveal God's self to us. He went to a lot of trouble to do that, so that we might know God. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, as you think about God, think about Jesus. He is the fullness of divine revelation. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. And he is filled with grace and truth and mercy and goodness and love for each of us. This is what the ultimate prophet declares. This is what the ultimate prophet reveals. Father God, we give you thanks that in your love and your mercy and your kindness, you sent your Son. That in these days, you sent your Son, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us, to reveal your glory, to reveal your goodness, to reveal your grace, to reveal your heart. God, I pray that we would dwell with Jesus. That all of our thoughts about God, all of our thoughts about who you are would be shaped by our encounter with Jesus. And so God, we pray that in your kindness and in your grace, that you would guide us to walk with Christ, the ultimate prophet. And it's in his name that we pray.